evening.
Good evening.
Good to see you. Happy that you are here. Unfortunately, I picked up a cold here recently, and I'd like not to share it with you, but it sounds like someone shared it with you other than me. Some of you all are coughing, and it's a rough time in Ohio. We're making a transition from the cold stuff to the warm stuff, and sometimes we're just sandwiched right in between, and our bodies are just saying, come on, man, you know, give me a break. So, but anyway, so I don't plan to associate much after I'm done here. Probably just get my stuff and go. So no offense to anybody, unless you want to share with what I've got. So I don't want you to do that. We're looking at this book here, The Eternal Kingdom by Brother Maddox. There's still some folks that are coming up to me and saying that, they do not have a book. No one in their family has a book. Can they have a book? And if that's the case, let me know, and I'll make sure you get a book. If you do have a book and you lost your book, find a partner. So, till you find your book. But I will probably take some of the books and write loaner on it or something, and we just got to make sure we get them back. These are great books, folks. And I hate to sound so stringent about it. There are certain books that I've had throughout the course of my ministry that I find myself wanting to go back and reorder, and to give someone an extra copy. I've learned that, like if it's a real popular book, I like to keep my book and I'll just order a copy to loan it. And I'm finding with some books that it's no longer in publication. And when they're gone, they're gone. You basically are relying on people who have a copy of it. So anyway, we're looking at the Eternal Kingdom. In our last lesson, we looked at historians who wrote during the Christian movement. And those individuals that we had looked at were Josephus, Tacitus, and Suetonius. All of these men wrote about Christ and the Christian movement. Interestingly enough, their stories all match up and they validate what the Bible says. And they were not Christians. Far from it. Okay? Far from it. They were just, the reporter on the scene is all they were. Okay? Historians. Authors writing about what they experienced, what they saw. And it all lines up with what we read in God's holy word. If you haven't read about these men and their experiences, you have your book. I encourage you to do so. And I don't mean this in a sacrilegious way, but it should strengthen your faith. It should strengthen your faith to be able to see individuals who really didn't care about Christ, didn't care about the Christian movement, but yet they supported it with what they wrote, okay? And that should validate and strengthen your faith. I want us to continue to look at an individual, Pliny the Younger. Now, when I say Pliny the Younger, what assumption can you make about Pliny? There's what? Okay, there's an older or elder, right? And you're right in that assumption. Pliny the Elder was the uncle of Pliny the Younger. I'm going to read a little bit here from the Encyclopedia Britannica with regards to Pliny the Younger. And then we'll go ahead and we'll read in our book as well. I'm going to go ahead and put our bullets up here, up on this, because I find myself having the gift of gab and then forgetting to click. So, and we're going to do some reading tonight in our books. As we go through some of this, I might be at points and times telling you to stop if I have a couple paragraphs I want you to read, but I want to make a point or two. Pliny the Younger was born AD 61-62. He died in 113 AD in Bithynia, Asia Minor now, Turkey. A Roman author and administrator who left a collection of private letters of great literary charm, intimately illustrating public and private life in the heyday of the Roman Empire. Now, what I'm about to read to you, and what you've already probably seen in the book that you have before you, is this guy was really entrenched in politics. He was a chief ambassador. He was a lawyer. We're going to look at that in just a moment. As far as a lawyer, he worked his way up from the lower courts to what would be primarily, essentially, their Supreme Court. Okay? An intelligent man. Born into a wealthy family and adopted by his uncle, Pliny the Elder, Pliny began to practice law at the age of 18. Now, let me say something here about Pliny the Elder. So we read about Tacitus, right? So, you know, what's interesting is when you study these authors, you know what they say, blood is thicker than water, right? So the only way that Pliny the Younger would basically view Tacitus in a credible light was because, well, Tacitus was a man that actually read my uncle's work, you know. And I think it's interesting. You know, if you go back and you research it, it's like, yeah, he, you know, but, you know, Tacitus didn't think of that all himself. We have my uncle to thank for that. Now, these are things that you don't see when you're just reading names, okay? But I just thought that was interesting as I was studying this. Okay, thank you, Jeff. Okay, one, two. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
All right. So, his reputation in the civil law courts placed him in demand in the political court, and tried provincial officials for exhortation. His most notable success is around 100 A.D., was securing condemnation of a governor in Africa and a group of officials from Spain. Meanwhile, he had attained the highest administrative post, becoming a praetor in 93 and consul, which is a judge and then a chief judge. Okay, Pliny had financial ability and successfully headed the military treasury. He was a senator as far as treasury in 94 to 100. After administrating the drainage board of the city of Rome, so he's been everywhere, in 104 to 106, he was sent in 110, this is important, by the Emperor Trajan to investigate corruption. And the reason I'm reading this is because we're going to put the needle on the record here in a moment in your books. Because you don't see this stuff. Trajan sent him to investigate corruption in the municipal administration of Bithynia, where apparently he died 2 years later. So what you see in your books, if you've already read it, okay, we're going to pick up, go ahead and turn over to this. While there in Bithynia, he runs into a group of Christians. Okay, he's there on government business. That's why he's there. He's not there to just arrest Christians. He's there for corruption. Okay, oh, by the way, I found all these Christians here. Okay, now why in the world you couldn't leave them alone? You know, that's just too easy to do. So he was there, and let's begin. Who wants to read the first paragraph? Well, I'm not going to give you a page number because your page won't match mine, but it says Pliny. And just read that first paragraph. Who's got it? Go ahead, Lloyd.
I keep doing this all the time, but I'm not bad.
Chapter.
Yeah, Lloyd's going to go ahead and take his. Yeah, two.
It's on page 21.
Yep. And you're right. That's it.
Pliny the Younger, born in 61, was sent by the Emperor Trajan to Bithynia in 112 at Propaetor. Finding many Christians who He tells of moral integrity of a Christian and gives historical evidence concerning Christ. The entire letter is worthy of careful study when he says, "It is my rule, sire, to refer to you in matters where I am uncertain. For who can better direct my hesitation or instruct my ignorance? I was never present at any trial of Christians. Therefore, I do not know what are the customary penalties or investigations and what limits are observed."
Okay, stop there, Lloyd. Yeah. So we already see, don't we? There's a bunch of Christians here. I've not been involved in this side of government where we're persecuting the Christians. No, you have. No, we have. But not me. What do you want to do with them? That's his question. Okay? All right, go ahead.
Number two, I've hesitated a great deal on the question of whether there should be any distinction of ages, whether the weak should have the same treatment as the more robust, whether those who repent should be pardoned, or whether a man who has ever been a Christian should gain nothing by ceasing to be such, whether the man himself, even if innocent of crime, should be punished, or only the crime attaching to that man.
Okay, so you kind of see his dilemma, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you know, does are we going on age here? What about the younger ones? You know, are they to receive the same punishment as the older ones? And what about those that say, "Oh, I'm not a Christian," you know, and they, you know, do a Peter, begin to curse, you know, and begin to deny Jesus? And when we're reading this, you've already read it. It's really heartbreaking because you see, whenever the heat was turned up on them, there were many of them said, "I'm not with them." Okay, I'm not with them. So he's, you know, at least at work. I can't say we appreciate plenty, but at least from his perspective, he's not just like, "Hey, look, you know, he's bloodthirsty. I'm just ready to just, you know, stone them all to death. You know, off with their heads." That's not what he's doing. He's just writing this letter, and he's saying, "What do I do? Do I judge them all, you know, with the broad brush and just paint them with the same broad brush and just kill them all? Or, you know, we kind of segregate and separate? What do we do here?" Okay, who wants to take the next paragraph? Who's got that? Next paragraph. Okay, go ahead.
"Meanwhile, this is the course that I have adopted in the case of those brought before me as Christians. I ask them if they are Christians. If they admit it, I repeat the question a second and third time, threatening capital punishment. If they persist, I sentence them to death. For I do not doubt, whatever crime it may be to which they have confessed, their pertinacity and inflexible obstinacy should certainly be punished. There were others who displayed a like madness and whom I reserved to be sent to Rome, since they were Roman citizens."
Okay, thank you. So let's just stop for a moment. So, you know, here, guys, imagine yourself in this position. I asked them if they were Christians. If they admitted it, what do you say? "I'll ask you again. I'll ask you three times." You know what? And if you don't deny the fact that you're a Christian, you're going to die. Man, you know, I tell you, I hope this is real to you. You know, and if anything, to live in the freest land in the world based upon, you can't deny it, on Christian values, Christian principles. Brother, we have got to be people that are grateful and thankful for our status, but not only be grateful and thankful for it, but do everything in our power, legally, lawfully, and certainly in obedience unto God, to make sure we maintain that. Okay. So, you know, that is, they confessed it. Then he goes on, and as Amanda was reading for us, there were some, they were Roman citizens, right? Off with your head. Is that what he did to them? What did he do? Oh, there is a little bit of partiality here, isn't there? There is a little bit of favoritism. Well, we'll send you back to Rome, and, you know, whatever they decide back in Rome. That's not saying they're going to get off scot-free, okay? But whatever the decision is, you know, but it's very interesting. Okay, who wants to read? It's a big chunk here. Who wants to read the next paragraph? Rhonda, go ahead.
Thereupon, the usual result followed. The very fact of my dealing with the question led to a wider spread of the charge, and a great variety of cases were brought before me. An anonymous pamphlet was issued, containing many names. All who denied that they were or had been Christians, I consider should be discharged, because they called upon the God at my dictation and did reverence with incense and wine to your image, which I had ordered to be brought forward for this purpose, together with the statues of the deities, and especially because they cursed Christ, a thing which it is said genuine Christians cannot be induced to do.
Okay, stop. Just write for a second, Ron. I'm going to do this a little bit. Keep the pamphlet in your mind, the anonymous pamphlet. Because when he's writing this letter to Trajan, Trajan is going to respond. And he's going to talk about that very point right there. Okay, he's going to address that. Okay, with regards to, can you just accuse a person just because you don't like them? You know, they're a Christian, you know, and they may not be, you know. But Trajan has a response for that. And also, you know, and the very fact, Rhonda, as Rhonda was reading, that there are some that are saying, hey, look, you know, Pliny's saying that there were some that did deny Christ. Listen, they were involved in emperor worship. The emperors believed they were gods, okay? It wasn't just, it's a melting pot for many different people that brought their baggage, their cultural baggage, and some of that cultural baggage was religious baggage. It wasn't just the fact that you saw individuals coming here that were Gentiles or that were there that were Gentiles and they were worshiping idols. The government, Rome, you know, everybody's subject to Rome. Rome runs the whole show. The emperors believed that they were gods. In a few lessons before this, we were talking about what's interesting is if you were in like ISIS, for example, and the religion of ISIS, if there were plays that they would conduct, okay? And I think what's interesting, when you go back and you study some of the festivals and these plays, you will see them, and this is just, I don't know what the correct word for it, you know, just basically, it's being a brown noser. In their plays, they're bestowing great praise for the emperor, okay? In their plays where they worship their gods, okay? Because they had to. Because the emperor's like, hey, where's my fair time? Where's my glory? Where's my praise? Okay? You guys have to get the flavor of this. Imogene.
Who appointed the emperors?
Well, it's a dynasty, okay? It's a dynasty. And if you were in that line, and now they had a republic, they voted, okay?
Scott, yes. I think our answer is the Senate.
The Senate. They voted. Much like we have our politics today where we're voting, okay, they voted on it, okay? All right?
The only ones who could vote on that were the senatorial class,
yeah,
which was basically... There was a senatorial class, there was the equestrian class, which were knights, and then there were the freemen or plebeians. So there were three classes, and there's a pretty much a gap in between each of those classes. So the senatorial class are the ones that got together and confirmed that mm-hmm. the emperor was. But it was basically whoever seized the power, because they were fathers or uncles or whatever.
And then keeping the power, you know, because there were always conspiracies, you know, to whack the king. Okay. So, but anyway, all right. Go ahead, Rhonda, keep going.
Others named by the informer first so that they were Christians and then denied it, declaring that they had been but were so no longer. Some having recanted 3 years or more before, and one or two as long as 20 years. They all worshipped your image and the statues of the gods and cursed Christ. But they declared that the sum of their guilt or error had amounted only to this, that an appointed day they had been accustomed to meet before daybreak and to recite a hymn and to funnel to Christ, as to a god, and to bind themselves by an oath, not for the commission of any crime, but to abstain from theft, robbery, adultery, and breach of faith, and not to deny a deposit when it was claimed. After the conclusion of this ceremony, it was their custom to depart and meet again to take food. But it was ordinary and harmless food, and they had ceased this practice after my edict, in which, accordance with your orders, I had forbidden secret societies.
Stop. Okay. Did you catch that? What is he depicting? What is he describing?
Services.
He's describing worship and fellowship. Right? Okay? Worshiping and eating. Right? That's what we do. You're a member of the church. You worship and then you eat. Okay? And that's what they're doing. But the sad thing about this is, as Rhonda concluded this, is the very fact that, that they stopped. Okay, hey, you gave the decree that we stop. We're going to stop. Man, need to go back and read Acts chapter 2, 3, and 4, and 5. You know, when the apostles were told to stop, what did they say? Not a problem. We'll quit. We'll stop. We'll no longer worship. Is that what they did?
Yes, sir.
You know what? Yeah. You know, whether it's right to obey you or not, you know, you have to decide, you know, for yourselves. But we are going to serve God. You know, we're not going to deny God. Okay? But they got wobbly. They got weak in the knees. Go ahead, Rhonda. Keep reading. Yes. Yes.
I just had a question. Is there some kind of point that they accustomed to meet before daybreak? When he says that amounted to this, that on an appointed day that they had been accustomed to meet before daybreak.
Okay.
I mean, was there a reason to meet before daybreak?
Yeah, I just think it's just it's denoting of a particular day and just time. I don't see a time here.
Right.
But they knew what it was.
But it seems to me that he's saying here, it's he has forbidden. They had stopped because he had forbidden secret societies. So that might have been a convenient time to get together when no one would be looking.
And that's the way they looked at Christianity. Listen, guys. Christians were hated by everybody. They were hated by the Romans because their religion was basically illegal. Okay? It's a secret society. Your religion has to be government approved. Okay? They were hated by the Jews because you're preaching and teaching in such a manner that is blasphemy. It's irreverent. Okay? You're saying we don't live under the old law? What's this?
Well, not only that, they're preaching that the Messiah has already come, and surely the goodness of the Messiah hadn't come, because if he had, then we wouldn't be under Roman rule anymore.
Right. And you had that one too, Vince, where they thought, you know what, this kingdom, even his disciples up to the very end were like, when are you going to establish your kingdom, an earthly kingdom, right? So, yeah, there's a lot of things at play here. Okay, Rhonda, keep going.
I thought it the more necessary, therefore, to find out what truth was in this by applying torture to two maidservants who were called deaconesses. But I found nothing but a depraved and extravagant superstition, and I therefore postponed my examination and had recourse to you for consultation. The matter seemed to me to justify my consulting you, especially on account of the number of those in peril. Many persons of all ages and classes and of both sexes are being put in peril by accusation, and this will go on. The contagion of this superstition has spread not only in the cities, but in the villages and rural districts as well. Yet it seems capable of being checked and set right. There is no shadow of doubt that the temples which have been almost deserted are beginning to be frequented once more, that the sacred rites which have been long neglected are being renewed, and that sacrificial victims are for sale everywhere, whereas, though recently, a buyer was rarely to be found. From this, it is easy to imagine what a host of men could be set right were they given a chance of recantation.
Okay, stop there. Let's go back, you know, because I know when we're reading this, some are saying, wait a minute, they had deaconesses in the first century church? Because, well, that's what Pliny the Younger is saying, that there were two handmaid servants, and they were called deaconesses. Okay? Okay, so you go back. Who wants to read Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 3? Romans 16, verses 1 through 3. Who's got that? Real quick. Romans 16, verses 1 through 3. Rhonda?
Romans 16, verses 1 through 3.
Romans 16, verses 1 through 3. Go ahead, David.
I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Centuria, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper of many, and of myself also.
Okay. What did you get from that? Is there an off? Did you see an office of a female deaconess? Just like we have deacons, officers. Okay. She was a helper. She's a servant. Same Greek word. Okay. Same Greek word. That's what she is. Jesus had many women in his life that were servants. They were the ones that went to the tomb first. Okay. That is what we see. As a matter of fact, and I know you're probably saying, man, why are you making a mountain out of the molehill? Because some people, some brethren in our brotherhood have done this. Well, you see right there, you know, and then, you know, the women all of a sudden hold the office of a deaconess, okay? And we see it in our brotherhood. Just as, you know, is this inspired writing? Is he inspired? Is he inspired by the Holy Spirit? No, he's not. He's saying these women are servants. These women were servants of Christ. They're servants in the church, okay? That's what he's saying. And oh, by the way, if we're going to hold the hard and fast rule that it's an office, show me the qualifications for this, like you do in 1 Timothy chapter 3 for deacons and elders. Is there a chapter in there that talks about deaconesses and their qualifications? He's talking about, just as Vaughn was saying, this is a servant. She's a servant. That's all she is. So I wanted to clear that up. I didn't want to jump over it because it exists today. Brethren, there are churches today where deaconesses, women, will go up and serve the Lord's Supper today. Okay? And they will quote Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, and they'll look to Phoebe. You know? Well, she's a deaconess. Okay? So anyway, felt like we needed to discuss that. Questions, comments, remarks on that. Okay? The other part of this was with regards to the accusations that are being made. Okay, he said, the matter seemed to me to justify my consulting to you, especially on account of a number of those in peril, for many persons of all ages and classes of both sexes are being put in peril by accusations.
Anonymous.
And there it is. We're coming back to that pamphlet again. Okay? Hey, Gary, you know, I'm going to slip you a name here. You make sure you get that over to Plenty. You know, get that over to the
judge.
Yeah, the Roman government officials. And but, you know, you didn't see this. And there's my paper. You know, and it's like, what is that? You know, man, I got to be careful what I say. I was dismissed from a jury duty one time. The reason I was dismissed from jury duty, I was happy. I got to go home. You know. But, you know, the question was asked, you know, is a person's word good enough, or do you have to have evidence? Well, I thought it was in a court of law, and I thought you got to have evidence to convict somebody, right? I said, well, I'd like to have some evidence, you know, and just because he's wearing a badge, his word is just as good as his word saying there. As far as I'm concerned, Mr. Spencer, you can go home. So I was like, man, where's the justice in all this? But anyway. Man, excuse me for being fair, you know, with everybody, but.
Let's not be mistaken. The law is about what's legal, not what's right.
That's right. So anyway, but here's what he's basically just trying to say. Is the fact that Trajan, I am looking for you to give me some advice on this direction. You know, am I just taking mystery names? Are we going to kill people based upon that? Okay, let's get to his response. Okay, Trajan's response. Who wants to read his response in this paragraph? Who's got it? Who's got his response? Who wants to read his response? Vince.
So writes Pliny, we are now to observe the emperor's reply. You've taken the right line, my dear Pliny, in examining the cases of those denounced to you as Christians, for no hard and fast rule can be laid down of universal application. They're not to be sought out, if they are informed against and the charge is proved, they are to be punished with this reservation. That if anyone denies that he is a Christian and actually proves it, that is, by worshiping our gods, he shall be pardoned as a result of his recantation. However suspect he may have been with respect to the, however suspect he may have been with respect to the past. Pamphlets published anonymously should carry no weight in any charge whatsoever. They constitute a very bad precedent and are also out of keeping with this age.
Okay, what was the conclusion of the matter? What was the conclusion of the matter?
Throw away the pamphlet and only charge those guys who continue to be Christians.
Okay, that's the conclusion of the matter, isn't it? We're not going to take anonymous names. Okay? I at least got to get them credit for that, you know.
It's back to that proven innocent until proven guilty.
That's it. You know, that's exactly what he's trying to do. He's trying to... That sounds awful, doesn't it? Because, you know, you've got Christians here, you know, that you got some that are saying, I'm a Christian. I'm not going to take a knee. And I'm not going to bow down to the emperor. Okay? I'm not doing that. You know, I'm going to stand for Jesus. That means I'll die for Jesus. Okay? Yes?
Well, he even says that they're not to be sought out. Like, if they are informed against
him. Right. Don't go hunt them down.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't go hunt them down. Don't go, right. You know,
right. Oh, we're looking for Christians.
Yeah.
Remember, that's why I read from, Amanda, that's why I read from the Encyclopedia Britannica, is because he was there actually looking for government corruption. Okay? And he runs across Christians. What am I to do with these guys? I've never dealt with this before. You know? So anyway. All right. Any questions? I got to get a drink.
I just...
yes. Go ahead, Melanie.
I'm not going to be much better, but... I just thought it interesting that even though he basically says in this whole thing how they did nothing except for just basically worship God,
right.
They didn't commit any other crimes, and that was their only crime.
Right.
And he would still send them to death just because they said it. And it just, I mean, to me, this is just like a great testimony to the fact that, you know, he still mm-hmm. saw no fault in them. Their mm-hmm. only fault was mm-hmm. saying they believed in Christ.
Right.
And being a Christian.
And being a Christian. And therein lies the problem, though, because we read it. In their view, it's a secret society. It's not sanctioned by the government. Go ahead, Vince.
But wasn't it true that the Roman government sanctioned... You were allowed to participate in your religion only if the government sanctioned that religion.
Yes.
So if you brought in a religion that was not sanctioned by the Roman government, you were in fact breaking the law.
You're a lawbreaker.
Just as if you were a murderer, just as if you were
right.
a thief.
Right. You're a lawbreaker.
You're a lawbreaker. If,
right.
If you did, according to their rule.
Right.
The Romans took Roman citizenship and Roman law very, very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why in the beginning of this, when we see Pliny saying, I persecuted these guys, but if they claim to be Romans, I've sent them off to Rome.
Right.
Because we remember reading this same thing about the Apostle Paul.
Absolutely.
He says, you know, why are you doing this to me?
I'm a Roman citizen.
And they yes. were like, because if they persecuted...
Don't touch. Them,
because,
right.
Because if someone besides Roman authorities persecuted a citizen,
right.
they're not going to go well for those people.
Right. The penalty was stiff as well. I think also due of... I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, that the penalty that was due upon the criminal could also be transferred to the one punishing as well, because you should have known he was a Roman citizen. Okay, you got to take that seriously. Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
So the Jewish religion was that.
It was. Okay. It was. And as a matter of fact, you know, look at the Herods. You talk about a dynasty. Okay. The Herodian dynasty. Okay. You know, they were governors of regions. So they were, you know, Josephus, you know, worked hard to bring, he was a Jew. He worked hard, Josephus did, to bring about, build a bridge of peace between the Romans and the Jews. Okay? And that's what I'm trying to say. The Christians were sandwiched right in between two classes of people who didn't like them, okay? The Romans and the Jews, okay? But yet, the message, the gospel, spreads like wildfire, and they're having mass conversions, right? And that's what I'm trying to say to you. Listen, if we take anything away from this at all,
people want something to believe in. Okay? They want something to believe in. They want someone to believe in. Jesus was the answer for them. The church was the answer for them. Okay? When you enter into these mystery religions, it wasn't the real deal. They knew it wasn't the real deal. Okay? They were just trying to identify. Okay? Paul and all of his sermons that you see with regards to, in Athens and the spirit being provoked within him because the city was given over to idol worship. Paul didn't say, well, that's okay. You kind of do your thing and give me an opportunity. Just go ahead and give me a platform too. His spirit was provoked in him, and he pointed out, he goes back to our God, our Creator. And from one man came every man, okay? And he talks about God, okay? He doesn't shy away from it. And he says, this temple that is made with hands, what are you doing to an unknown? What are you worshiping an unknown God? This unknown God, let me tell you about him. Okay? And, Paul doesn't back down from it. He speaks the truth in love, and he's provoked. I'm sure he's speaking very passionately. But, so that's what I want you guys to see, is the fact that with regards to standing firm on your faith, okay, it was really tested. They were opposed on every side. We're going to get into some accounts later on where family members, when Christians are being burned at the stake, and there are family members who are standing by and say, recant, recant, deny Jesus. We can just, they'll untie you, we can go home. Okay? A young girl's dad holding her baby, her child, is saying, deny him, let's go home. It's not worth it. Now, brethren, when this is real, and when you see this transpiring right before your very eyes, you say, man, how good I've got it. What a blessing it is.
The message of those that held firm, I don't think they realized the power of that, the influence that it had on the people sitting out there. Look at these, I'm going to call them cruel politicians. That's just what they were.
Right, they were. Right.
Those put in positions of power.
Right.
Look at what they're doing. These people have done no harm to anybody. But yet, look what we're doing.
Yes.
Just like we did with their Savior, Jesus Christ.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't mean for it to sound morbid, but even the apostles, they were rejoicing that they were worthy to suffer for Christ. And I'm not saying, we got to have a martyr complex. We got to go get beat up by somebody to be a Christian. But it came in their culture naturally. Okay? It did come naturally. And, even though we do see some killing away, there were many others. Okay? And some of this, you mentioned a word, the P word, politics. I'm wondering how much of this Pliny had to write in such a favorable way to the emperor to say, they're peeling away from Christ like crazy. When they may not have been. But he had to make it sound that way. Okay? Because I don't want to make the boss mad, right? We're doing some good here. We're accomplishing some good. Okay, Dale.
You say this couldn't happen to us, but it is happening today.
Oh, I didn't say it couldn't happen to us.
No,
I never said it could. I
know.
Yeah.
A lot of people say that all of this could.
As a matter of fact, I think it is happening to us in a roundabout way. If we open up our eyes and be honest with ourselves.
Right. And it is still into this country, and it may be to the point that you may have to come to the same conclusion. Will you stand for it, or will you deny it?
Right. Right. So, Ivan Jean, did you have your hand up? Do you remember what you were going to ask? You had it up for a while.
Did he have the power when he went to Rome to appoint all the emperors? Or were they already appointed?
They were already appointed. They were already in place. There was already an emperor in place.
But then he could say, this was bad and this was good.
Yeah, he's... the emperor is king. He's the one that is advising his generals. He's the one advising, Pliny the Younger of what to do. Okay? Does that answer your question? Okay. All right. We got, guys, we got like 5 minutes. Let's do this next week, because we're getting I want a fresh start. The New Testament church, be reading, what is it, chapter 3? Chapter 3, right? Okay, and it doesn't matter what book you're in, it's chapter 3. Okay? Start reading that, okay? do yourself a favor. Do me a favor. Go back also and read the first couple chapters of Acts, Acts chapter 2. You know what? Just go back and read, you know, the book of Acts as a refresher. Because what you're seeing is a lot of this stuff, right, Lloyd? You're seeing a lot of this stuff. It's like, oh, yeah, I remember reading about that. You know, when you look at the persecution in Acts chapter 9, Saul going in with arrest warrant in hand and dragging Christians off, okay? So you see that. So go back and read this chapter, read the book of Acts, and, you know, we'll have a good basis for dialogue when we do that. Any other questions or comments? Gary?
Is the name Jesus Christ mentioned in historical books anywhere?
Jesus? We've been reading it about Christos, Christ.
I mean, the man, not the religion, the man.
Yeah, exactly. They write about the followers of Christ, the man.
Well, I mean, do they say, any history books say anything when he was born or? Why they changed from B.C. to A.D. and all that kind of thing is kind of quite important.
Well, you know, Gary, what you can do is, based upon when these guys lived and when they wrote, and you compare what they wrote, do some cross-referencing with regards to what was written by various individuals, historians. Okay, and you can figure that out. Do a little math, and you can figure that out. Okay. I understand what you're saying. Is there basically, did a historian write a biography about Jesus?
I have told a few,
right.
I have told a few people that they do not believe in God. And why is there AD and BC?
Mm-hmm. Right. Good point. Okay. Any other questions or comments? I hope you guys are getting something out of this. You know, sometimes I get tongue tied up here, and I got a long tongue to get tied. You know, but anyway, thank you for your participation. You guys make the class great with your dialogue and some input that you give. The explanations that you give really help add to the class as well. And I appreciate it. All right, just chill out until the little rascals get here.